Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, alihau, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, weevi, valkat, bang, hafidei, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan. Peace, how? Go vegan. From under my radioactive protective desk in my duck and cover position on the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison kilitary industrial core poor nation in the post-constitutional cheese-covered bankster bankrupt bribocratic corruptocracy mocracy security state criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, for radioactivism, but against radioactivity. No nukes are good nukes, no meat is good meat. I'm still really in a state of shock, though, over the state of the world today. It's almost too much. The Japanese nuclear apocalypse, wars everywhere, republican dictator governors, people eating at McDonald's. I think the only thing possibly made healthier by all of this radiation is Japanese sushi, which I don't think is technically considered raw anymore. How can radiation make raw fish any unhealthier than it already is, huh? With mercury and heavy metals and PCBs? The radiation is almost a nutrient when it comes to raw fish, which is also full of cholesterol and unhealthy animal protein. So now Business Week reports seafood restaurants around the world are dumping Japanese sushi from their menus. And speaking of unhealthy animal protein, unhealthy even before added radiation, cow's milk and dairy products from Japan are now being banned from import by countries around the world. And you almost have to wonder if the ingredients going into a Toyota are radioactive. Would buying a radioactive Prius be the environmentally responsible thing to do? Well, you can always go vegan instead. A study out of the University of Chicago says you reduce carbon emissions more by going vegan than switching to a hybrid. 3,000 more pounds of carbon would be saved per year by doing that. And who knows how much more energy a Prius will use when Geiger counters become standard equipment. And it's really too bad, you know, how a simple physics formula from a vegan, no less, Albert Einstein, could lead to so much destruction. He's the one who said that chances for survival of all life on Earth are enhanced by our transformation to a vegetarian or vegan diet. Totally brilliant, right? Until the scientists started following him and they got a bright idea that we should boil water for rice with uranium. Oh, if only Einstein said he was a vegan cook, not a physicist, and it was a recipe. E equals MC squared. Well, eggplant equals the amount of mushrooms and carrots that you put in a square casserole dish. Would that work? Or is the genie actually out of the bottle? The radiation is out of the power plant. And just when you think the world is a dangerous enough place just because of meat and dairy. Yeah, I know, wars are dangerous too, but meat and dairy kill more Americans each year than all wars combined. And, you know, who is really more of a threat to your family members? Meat and dairy, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, or Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? And would we need so much energy if we weren't so preoccupied with consumption of meat and dairy? How much energy to grow the food to feed cows, pigs, and chickens, and the energy to kill them and package them and refrigerate them and transport them? All the energy that goes into healthcare because people eat them? Would we need so much energy that we'd still have to boil water for rice with uranium? These days, it's just nuke, baby, nuke. And, you know, I'm almost nostalgic for drill, baby, drill. Almost, because this past week, Shell Oil Company got the green light from Barack the Bummer to drill, baby, drill again. Three new wells in the Gulf of Mexico, all about 3,000 feet deep. I guess the excuse the Obama regime can give us is, well, hey, at least it's not nuclear, right? Oh, and by the way, on Monday, it was announced that the aging, crumbling Vermont Yankee nuclear reactor received approval for a 20-year extension on its operation, even though it has leaked radioactivity into groundwater and uses the same Mark I reactor now experiencing multiple failures in Japan. What excuse can the Obama regime give us for this? Well, at least it's not underwater oil drilling. It's not drill, baby, drill. I personally was feeling relatively safe about nuclear radiation on the left coast here until Obama said we were safe. Then I started to worry. Gov Enron Mint officials always downplay a catastrophe. And on today's program, we will appreciate the full magnitude of the Japanese nuclear apocalypse through the analysis of investigative reporter Keith Harmon Snow, an engineer who actually worked in management for General Electric, the company that built all of these nuclear disaster reactors. And I'm just astonished by the complete lack of respect for life, the kind of meanness that allows people to support nuclear, even if it's a threat to millions of people, the environment, animals. So what, huh? You know, it's like who can be more mean than the next person? We get the Republier con governors so mean that they want to dump food programs for the poor, dump heating programs for poor families, dump hospital care for poor children, as if these programs were Japanese sushi. They want to dump them, huh? How can people be so mean? I guess it really comes down to you are what you eat. I wonder where we would be if we weren't consuming the meanest diet on earth. But we do consume torture, we do consume mass killing, all boiled in water, heated by uranium. And also, as mean as our diet is, it's not the brightest either. So who are the brightest and the most caring among us? The vegans, of course, Denis Kucinich, the only one to be trusted of all the U.S. representatives in the House of Misrepresentatives. He's vegan. Cindy Sheehan, with the sense of conviction to speak out against bad warmongers like Republier cons, and to speak out against the good warmongers too, like Democrats. She's a vegan. Cindy Sheehan will be a guest on this program next week. And as we approach the Cesar Chavez holiday, it's good to remember that he, the great social justice activist, the workers' rights activist, peace activist, gay rights activist, and animal rights activist, was vegan too. And as we go to the break, oh, and I remind you to please donate to support this show so that there can be some truth in the media. You can support this show with a tax-deductible donation. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. We have to pay for the airtime. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org. And as we go to the break, let's turn off the impropaganda of the pro-nuke, pro-war politicians and hear some of the proper Gandhi from a higher caring person about the importance of compassion for animals in the world. Here's Cesar Chavez in his own words on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
We need in a special way to work twice as hard to make all people understand that animals are fellow creatures, that we must protect them and love them as we love ourselves. And that the basis for peace is respecting all creatures. That's the basis for peace.
You You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us. Life as a vegan is so sweet, especially when you're enjoying Jacques' many selections of vegan organic fair trade chocolates. Look for Jacques in your natural foods market or visit Jacques' website, which you'll never find unless I spell it for you. That's S-J-A-A-K-S. S-J-A-A-K-S.com. Family-owned, Jacques' chocolate bars, gift boxes, and holiday treats. Nuts, fruits, mints, caramel. No animal ingredients, no bone char sugar. Visit Jacques' website, sjaaks.com. Jacques.
What do Paul McCartney, the Skinny Bitch Ultimate Everyday Cookbook, and a box of gourmet chocolates have in common? You can find all three at PETA.org. Check out the latest buzz about your favorite animal-friendly celebrities, discover fun and fabulous gifts for the entire family, and find out ways to help all of our furry, feathered, and finned friends. PETA.org has something for every animal lover. Get active, get informed, and maybe even get yourself a gift at PETA.org today.
As beautiful as ballet is, there is cruelty at its very soul. The sad secret? Most ballet slippers are made with animal skins, leather, and suede. It doesn't have to be that way. You or your children can dance cruelty-free with Cynthia King Vegan Ballet Slippers. Super soft canvas, non-slip, full sole or split sole, stretch drawstring. Cynthia King Vegan Ballet Slippers. Order online, just $24.95 plus shipping and handling. Visit CynthiaKingDance.com. Academy Award winner Natalie Portman ordered them. Emily Deschanel ordered them for her TV show Bones. Now you can too. Call 718-437-0101. 718-437-0101. Hear the Cynthia King interview at goveganradio.org. Click Listen to Past Shows, March 6th, 2011. CynthiaKingDance.com.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
Well, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and attempt to bring you the truth, however painful it might be, which is usually punishable, with solitary confinement in this country, actually. You can support this show so that we can infiltrate mainstream media and real radio stations, like we do on Green 960 and KPOJ. You can support the show with a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.org, or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414. San Francisco, California, 94147. I was feeling pretty safe on the west coast of the United States, even with the disaster in Japan, until I heard President Obama say that we are safe. Then I started to worry. Now I'm doing the show ducking and covering under my desk here. And right now I want to bring on a Massachusetts native, Keith Harmon Snow, who graduated from the University of Massachusetts with bachelor's and master's degrees with honors in electrical engineering, and then worked as an engineer, and then from 1985 to 1989, business development manager for GE Aerospace Laboratories. GE, a name familiar with nuclear reactors, and he was working on the Pentagon Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars, and other classified programs. And since 1990, Keith has been on the front lines in environmental defense and social justice issues. Seems to have taken a change in his career there. And as an independent journalist, war correspondent, and photographer, Keith has won 3 Project Censored Awards and has worked in conflict zones in Africa, Asia, and Central America, and has been widely recognized for his work challenging establishment narratives on genocide and war crimes, crimes against humanity, which I believe nuclear power seems to be. He's founder of the Wildcat Sanctuary for Peace, and he has done extensive research on all things nuclear, including visiting NRC public document rooms, and this past week authored the article Nuclear Apocalypse in Japan, Lifting the Veil of Nuclear Catastrophe and Cover-Up, a Doomsday Scenario Unfolds with Characteristic Foolishness. And welcome, Keith. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we from public officials, we always get the word not to worry, everything's okay, it's all under control. But you're talking about an apocalypse. What's going on here? What's the reality?
Well, the reality is that we've been conditioned with, if we talk about the nuclear sector alone, which includes nuclear weapons and nuclear reactors, nuclear power, the peaceful atom, we've been conditioned with 40 to 50 to 60 years of everything's fine, folks. Yeah, there was a little bit of a so-called leak. Maybe some radiation escaped. A plant scrammed today. We had a small accident at the Vermont Yankee power plant. The Pilgrim reactor today had a small scram when such and such, blah, blah, blah. But everything's fine. Don't worry. There's no problem, no threat to the environment, and no radiation has been released. It's almost always in the same sentence. The first half of the sentence is, the officials today at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission confirmed reports that the Vermont Yankee had a radioactive release, and officials said that there was no cause for concern and no threat to the public health and safety.
Oh, wasn't its license extended and announced just this past week, the very plant about which you speak?
Yeah, Vermont Yankee's been around for more than 35 years. I don't know whether it's a pressurized water or a boiling water reactor, but I believe it's a boiling water reactor. It's irrelevant. Pressurized water or boiling water, they're all equally unsafe if they were made back in the 60s and 70s, which most of these were, up until 1986, the last reactor that was actually, the construction was actually completed or finished, I think. And then there was a Watts Bar nuclear power plant, Tennessee reactor that came along. The construction continued into the 90s and came online later. But the point is that these reactors are unsafe. They're dangerous. They're deadly. They've been leaking, and I'm not going to use the word leak anymore because we're not talking about radiation leaks. If you imagine you got a balloon, you know, and you squeeze the opening and out comes a little bit of air and it makes a squeak, well, that's what you would call a leak. Or a leak is your tap dripping a little bit of water here and there. We're talking about emissions. We're talking about huge radiation emissions from all of these nuclear power plants. But in the case of Japan, the Fukushima reactors, on day one, which was the 11th of March, two Fridays ago, we were told that or by Saturday morning, that their earthquake had struck and a tsunami had struck. The reactors, finally we start to hear that the reactors, these nuclear reactors there, and, well, everything's okay, basically. Okay, so then a little bit later, well, we've got a little bit of a problem with these reactors, but no radiation has been released. As time goes on, officials start to release, you know, little bits more and more. Well, actually, the reactors are not functioning. We can't cool them, but there's no threat to the public health and safety. Finally, we find out that we've got and this is today, this is today's news, and this is not from the mainstream news, that we have a Chernobyl situation in Japan. We have radiation levels that are approaching, in the measurements that have been taken by the International Test Ban Treaty Organization, the Vienna group has released the information about the levels of radiation that have come out of Fukushima in Japan, and they're comparable to In the 4 days of measurements that they looked at, the first 4 days, they're approaching the levels of Chernobyl. And if we add up days 5 through 14, which is what we're at today, I think 14th day is tomorrow, Friday, I believe it's going to exceed Chernobyl. And that's what the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty Organization folks from Vienna are also saying the numbers are going to exceed what happened in Chernobyl. And this is, and it, we're still getting reports out of NBC, for example, a few days ago that some radiation had been discovered in some spinach and some milk. But it's such a low level that it's no different than sitting out in the sunshine. I mean, this is the kind of stuff they give us. And, of course, NBC is owned by a company named General Electric, which happens to be the same company that made the reactors at Fukushima.
Mm. And, well, you worked for General Electric also. Did it take a change of heart? You supported nuclear at one time in your career, and then what made you switch?
Well, I did support nuclear back in the 60s when I was born in 1960. So in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, as I became more and more conscious of energy systems, I supported nuclear power as a clean and safe way to do it, as a technological wonder that we'd created and beautiful thing. And I also worked for the Star Wars weapons programs up until 1989. But then in 1989, I had a series of disappointments at my job and realized the culture of the corporation, especially somebody like GE in the United States, is not something that I want to dedicate my life to. And I flew off to bicycle across India. And in the process of doing that, I came to see that I started to begin to unravel all of these lies that we're told and we're convinced of back here in so-called Western civilization. And before long, I was, by 1993, 94, I was challenging a lot of these lies as an activist. And one of the first stories that I did as a journalist was to start looking into nuclear power. And it just happened that I tripped over an Earth First rendezvous. Earth First is this radical American environmental group. I guess you could call them anarchist group. And they had a round river rendezvous, they call them every summer. And a friend invited me, so I went, and at the end of the rendezvous, they had an action against the Watts Bar nuclear power plant, and I had no idea that they were planning this. They didn't let me in on it. Of course, they didn't know who I was. And then early in the morning, they blockaded the Watts Bar plant, and I saw what these young people were putting themselves on the line for, and it was a moral cause and a just cause, and the more I looked into it, the more I realized that I had been lied to and deceived. And then I started looking into the documents at the public document room and interviewing officials. I interviewed officials at the Watts Bar plant and toured the inside of the reactor that had not yet started. And I interviewed officials at Yankee Row, which was near me in Massachusetts. And you start to pick up lies after a while, and my radar detector for lying and deception is very acute. So that's the short of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I remember the No Nukes album from years ago and the concert at Madison Square Garden, and we were all opposed to nukes at the time, and somehow we feel like they just went away. And even recently we were told that nuclear is the green energy, you know, that it was environmentally responsible to support nuclear.
Well, there's a lot of people, of course, environmentalists, people who call themselves environmentalists, who claim that nuclear power is the only answer to global climate mayhem, global climate change, global warming. And these include, for example, the author of the famous book, The Gaia Hypothesis. And the Gaia Hypothesis is basically that the Earth is an integral system that you can't divide up and understand the pieces alone. You got to look at the entire biosphere, the entire system as a self-regulating, self-correcting entity. And James Lovelock, who wrote the Gaia Hypothesis, it turns out, you read the book, and it's a pretty good sell for the average reader, but it didn't sell me for a second. And that sounded very arrogant, and I don't mean it that way. It's just that I can see through the lies very quickly, and it's just a bunch of garbage. The guy supported basically back in the 1960s and 70s when he wrote the book, he actually supported industry spreads of pesticides and things like this. And he was calling people who were opposed to pesticides, you know, some sort of a fanatic. And Rachel Carson, who wrote Silent Spring, he said, well, we hope that she's not right, but he also denigrated her a little bit. Anyway, it turns out that he worked for NASA for years in classified space programs. And he also worked for MI5 or MI6, the intelligence sector in Britain. And he worked for Shell Oil Company in Britain. And he's a technological utopian. And you read his stuff now, and one of the things he said almost 2 weeks ago now, when the Chernobyl, when the Fukushima stuff started happening, he said no one's going to die from radiation at Fukushima, and he said practically no one died from radiation at Chernobyl. I mean, anybody who makes a statement about Chernobyl and says that no one died from radiation at Chernobyl is a quack.
Hmm. Well, so we have maybe about a minute before the break here, and I do want to get into the details related to what is happening in Japan, since we have so little access to the truth. So perhaps we should take our break right now, and then we'll come back and we'll continue with Keith Harmon Snow. And he has an article out, the website ConsciousBeingAlliance.com. And the article is Nuclear Apocalypse in Japan, Lifting the Veil of Nuclear Catastrophe and Cover-Up, a Doomsday Scenario Unfolds with Characteristic Foolishness. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And if you miss anything of what we discuss here, the program is archived at goveganradio.org. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, you can visit the website. It's goveganradio.org. We will continue with Keith Harmon Snow.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salad sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us. Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades experience in Bay Area real estate? Meet Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have three healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We are looking at the disaster in Japan and trying to find the truth, since it is always, an adventure to discover the truth, since we get a cover-up from officials and from industry. So today on the show, we're talking to We're talking to Keith Herman Snow, and if you like the idea of having the truth on the air, you know, we do have to purchase the airtime so you can make a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.org. And if you've missed any of our interview thus far, it's archived there. He's the author of the article Nuclear Apocalypse in Japan, Lifting the Veil of Nuclear Catastrophe and Cover Up a Doomsday Scenario Unfolds with Characteristic Foolishness. And let's look at the characteristic foolishness, perhaps. Well, what have we been told over the can this happen in the United States? What have we been told here? And what's the propaganda to which we are subjected, Keith?
Well, as you got to in your previous question, there's, and I didn't answer very well, there's a long history of massive propaganda convincing us, trying to convince us that nuclear power is safe, clean, and effective, efficient, economical. Nothing about that is true. American taxpayers have subsidized this boondoggle from the very beginning, billions and billions and billions of dollars. I mean, take the Fukushima reactors alone. They've dumped seawater on those reactors as a last-ditch effort to try to stop the nuclear catastrophe, and that means they made a conscious decision to destroy billions of dollars of nuclear power plants. They will never, ever function again. They're in meltdown to some degree at this very moment. But what we've been told here in America is over and over and over by this massive propaganda industry that the radiation is safe, that nuclear power plants are efficient and economical, and that there's nothing to worry about. And they've used, after Three Mile Island, which was in the 1980s, I think it was 1982, but I'm not certain, after Three Mile Island, the industry stepped back and realized they had to just kind of wait it out and wait until the voting age, the age of the voting public, the young people came into voting so that the power could be manipulated. And they put out all this propaganda from the early 1980s onwards to cover up the truth about nuclear power and about Three Mile Island. And now you've got a lot of people who support nuclear power because they've been propagandized to believe that it's safe, clean, green, and essential. And as I say, none of that is true. And so what's happened with Japan is that this nightmare unfolded. It's very, very serious. It's gotten to the point of being, it's as bad or worse than Chernobyl. And we're talking about radiation spreading around the globe at this very moment. And this is deadly stuff. And the industry, the propaganda, the media, the New York Times, CNN, NBC, etc., they continue to say in different ways that it's not as dangerous as we're being told, or that it maybe perhaps they're saying it's dangerous, but that's what those Japanese did, and that's what happens in Russia. It can't happen here. It can happen here. It's not about an earthquake per se, and it's not about a tsunami. It's about, take Vermont Yankee inland on the Connecticut River. It's about a loss of off-site power. That's what happened in Fukushima. The earthquake hit and the tsunami hit, but the real problem was that the backup safety systems, when the power systems were lost, the backup safety systems did not function. All of the things that they tout as being the reasons why we could never have a problem here are defense in depth, that there's layer after layer after layer of redundant safety systems to protect us from an emergency if there's a scram. And what happened in Fukushima was at the moment when those emergency systems were required, they did not function.
Mm. They actually were redundant in a way. I mean, they totally redundant in their failure to perform. And it seemed like elementary backups. You know, I mean, here, this wonderful technology of a nuclear power plant backed up by some diesel generators and some batteries, and then they're using fire hoses. But where can this go? I mean, how much of a doomsday scenario is this? Where can this go?
Well, it's not over. There's some experts out there. There's an American former GE employee who was actually quoted in one of the mainstream media saying something like, this is going to last another 10 days to 2 weeks at least. And today they reported, the media reported, and of course it's, you know, they don't give us the sense of what the problem is, but they said there was steam coming off of reactor number one. So in summary, there's six reactors that are having the big problem. There were also two more reactors to the north that had a problem and several reactors to the south that had a problem. But the big problem are these six Fukushima reactors made by GE and Toshiba and Hitachi. But they're all GE designs. And from the 11th of March, they began melting down, and they've melted down or exploded to varying degrees. And not only do we have the six reactors, we have seven spent fuel pools. and imagine like a small vertical, horizontally shaped swimming pool full of spent fuel rods. These things are incredibly deadly, meaning Hiroshima, the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima had the radioactive equivalent of 1,000 cesium, 1,000 curies of radioactivity. And these spent fuel pools, each one, and there's 100, possibly 104 in the United States, meaning there's 104 reactors in the United States. Each spent fuel pool has 75 million curies, or can have up to 75 million curies in them, compared to 1,000 curies from Hiroshima. And these, for example, today the news is saying that there's steam coming out of unit number one, actually white smoke or steam. This is radioactivity. And there's black smoke coming out of number three. There were hydrogen explosions where these buildings that are supposed to keep the radioactivity inside, it's the third level of containment. You've got the inner containment at the reactor. You've got the reactor pressure vessel and the reactor containment system. And then you've got the third level building. These buildings blew. They blew the roofs off. They're exploded. And the problem is they built these spent fuel pools up in the air above the reactor in these buildings. And we don't know, and they're not telling us, what's actually going on there, except that the radiation continues to plume upwards. It's infected all kinds of food now. They're telling people not to let their children in Tokyo, I believe it's in Tokyo, not to let their children drink tap water because it's radioactive. We're talking about a large chunk of Japan being contaminated forever. And this is huge. And that's not the story that we're being given. Radioactivity, radiation levels in California have spiked slightly. I'm receiving reports about small spikes in radiation there, and they may be larger than small. I don't know.
And if nothing gets cooled down, if everything just, if I mean, all of these pools and the rods, if they don't get cooled down, what happens? I mean, do they all explode endlessly? I mean, and then we hear that what the radioactive waste can be thousands of years. I mean, what are we looking at worldwide, do you think?
Well, the most toxic component of these spent fuel pools, the most toxic piece of this puzzle is the spent fuel pool where you have plutonium. The plutonium in those spent fuel pools has a half-life of 24,000 years. Now, that's the time it takes for one half of the material to decay to a safe level. That means that's forever. So if we look at iodine-131, which is released into the air in those steam releases, those radioactive emissions, that this is the immediate effects of Three Mile Island and the immediate effects of Chernobyl, and the immediate effects around Fukushima are thyroid cancer from iodine-131. And iodine-131 is airborne. It's a noble gas, and it has a half-life of 8 days. So if you have a particle, it has a mass. These particles of iodine and radioactivity have a mass to them. And it takes 8 days for half of that mass, whatever it is, to disappear. 8 days, another 8 days for the next half to disappear. Another 8 days for the final half to disappear. And this keeps going on until, you know, it's so small you can reasonably say it doesn't exist anymore. But even iodine-131 at an 8-day half-life is going to cause significant cancers, and thyroid cancers in particular. And then there's cesium-137, half-life of, I know cobalt-60 is coming out, and that's deadly, and they're thinking that the cobalt-60 is getting into the vegetables. Cobalt-60 has a half-life of 5 years. Cobalt-60 also shows up in the Connecticut River or in the Great Lakes or in any water body next to any one of our 104 nuclear reactors in the United States. And for example, I mean, if people think this is a conspiracy, even the Boston Globe reported that cobalt-60 is showing up in the Connecticut River from Vermont Yankee, and that the fish are showing up radioactive in the Connecticut River. So back in Fukushima, we've got cesium-137, which is a half-life, I think it's over 100 years, but I'm not sure. But anyway, it's a very long half-life. And cesium-134 and 137 are both being recorded and measured, and they're declaring, different groups are declaring that cesium-137 is coming out, and that's coming from the spent fuel pool. And then there's strontium-90, another very deadly one with a long half-life. But nothing compares to that plutonium. And basically, the spent fuel pools, they don't explode per se. If they're not cooled, if the cooling systems have disappeared, which is what happened, there's 6 spent fuel pools. And number 4, for example, reactors 1, 2, and 3 were operating when the tsunami hit. And reactors 4, 5, and 6 were in a safe shutdown for fuel reloading. But the spent fuel pool at number 4, which was in shutdown, is a dangerous problem. And that's, they've been unable to cool it. And so there's been a meltdown of some level in the spent fuel pool. And what this means is a fire. And the fire, just like if you burned up ash and soot in your, or leaves in your backyard, you see the stuff rising into the air. It doesn't sit on the ground and just burn in a pile. It's burning up all kinds of radioactive radionuclides, which are entering into the atmosphere in a plume that's going to come back as fallout over the United States and Europe and Japan. So those are the most deadly aspects. But even more deadly is what we don't know is going on. 6 reactors, number 1, has got a problem today, and we haven't been told previously that it had a problem. Number 2 and 3 had explosions. Number 4 has the spent fuel. Number 3 spent fuel pool, where is it? We don't know that. What's going on with it? They tell us that it's being cooled, and in the same sentence or the next sentence they say, but the water level has dropped below the rods, and so they're exposed to the air, and this means fire, and it means toxicity. And finally, that tsunami hit and washed things back into the ocean. Things have disappeared, including thousands of people. Parts of these, the radioactivity from these plants, the spent fuel pool flushing, radioactivity has gone into the ocean, and it's significant. It's huge. They're picking up readings of cesium-137 in the ocean right off Fukushima.
Well, if there's any argument against nuclear power now, I think we're reviving the no-nuke movement again in this country, even though we're told there should be subsidies for the nuclear industry and archaic plants are getting licenses to operate now 20 years into the future, plants that should have been shut down long ago. You said that many of these plants were designed as, American corporations often do, with the idea of planned obsolescence, and they are brittle and breaking and falling apart.
There's a long history of this problem. As early as the 1960s, with the first plants coming online, the first reactor, one of them was the Yankee Atomic Roe Reactor in Roe, Massachusetts, right up the road from me in Deerfield, Massachusetts, on the Deerfield River. And they knew early that there were these huge problems with the super alloys that are used. You're putting these steels under incredible conditions of operating conditions, high temperatures, high pressures, high stresses, vibrational stresses, causing cracking and embrittlement. And then you're bombarding them with neutrons, irradiating them. You put all this together, and it's caused massive failures of parts and cracking. And this is very well documented. And plants are shut down for emergency situations all the time, and we never hear about it. Or if we do hear about it, it's one of these very small page 52 of the New York Times little tiny square thing that said such and such a plant had a problem. The NRC said, but there was no release of radiation and nothing to worry about, and they'll get it back online soon. That kind of thing.
Keith,
so the media in the United States. The media in the United States. Sorry.
Sorry, we're down to about a minute right now.
Okay.
We're talking to Keith Herman Snow. Check the website consciousbeingalliance.com. And in 45 seconds, what haven't we gotten to that we should? What advice? How can people contact you? How do we fight the nuclear power?
Get in touch with the website Citizens Awareness Network or the NIRS, Nuclear Information Resource Service. But they're calling for a shutdown of all these 23 boiling water reactors. And the sad part is, even facing Fukushima, the nuclear industry in the United States and the president have said, we're going to move forward with nuclear power. This is insane.
It is insane. It's been insane, with the first nuclear power plant, with the bombs, and when will we learn? Thank you for being with us today, Keith Herman Snow. The article, Nuclear Apocalypse in Japan, Lifting the Veil of Nuclear Catastrophe and Cover-Up, A Doomsday Scenario Unfolds with Characteristic Foolishness. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Vegans are number 1 and number 2. Meat makes you constipated.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey.
That's what I said, tofurkey. There's tofurkey roast deli slices too. They have tofurkey sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love tofurkey, tofurkey. Come on, give it a try. It's tofurkey. See us at tofurkey.com. T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, tofurkey. Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only. VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN. Vegan owned and operated. VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com. You can enjoy meat-free nuggets that taste even better than meat nuggets. Try the delicious vegan entrees from EcoVegan. Visit EcoVegan.com to find out where you can buy them all and current news about EcoVegan. EcoVegan entrees are GMO-free and full of flavor, natural ingredients fully cooked and seasoned. Just heat, serve, and enjoy. No cholesterol, delicious entrees from EcoVegan. Sunshine Patties, Spicy Bits, Oriental's Joy, Ocean's Delight, EcoVegan. EcoVegan.com, EcoVegan.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and, well, because of today's program, nobody in the nuclear industry wants to be my friend, but you can be on Facebook. I'm Bob Linden. Follow me on Twitter. It's Go Vegan Radio. And thanks to Dennis Stovall for audio production. Thanks to all who donate to support this program. We have to purchase airtime each and every week. Support of the show also supports Progressive Talk Radio, and your donation is tax deductible. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Thanks to Vegetarian House in San Jose and Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants for making broadcasts possible. Also, you get a 10% discount right now on all orders over $50 at veganessentials.com when you put GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box. And if you are looking for a realtor in the San Francisco Bay Area with the ethics of a vegan and 3 decades real estate experience, contact Judith Brooks of REMAX. Email jbrooks, that's J-B-R-O-O-K-S, at remax.net. And remember, David Agronoff is doing his reading tomorrow night at Powell's Books in Portland, 40 Northwest 10th Avenue at 6 p.m. He was the guest on last week's show talking about his new fictional work, The Vegan Revolution with Zombies, which takes place in Portland. And you can hear that interview archived now at goveganradio.org. Also last week, we talked to PETA about its animal rescue efforts in Japan. I'd like to make you aware of a few other groups whom you may want to support. Japan Earthquake Animal Rescue and Support. To donate via PayPal, it's donate at jears.org. World Vets is an international veterinary group based in the U.S. with a group deployed in Japan right now. Donations help with mobilizing supplies and gear and the first responders there. So you can go to worldvets.org, worldvets.org. And Animal Rescue Kansai is a rescue group in Western Japan, and you can donate via PayPal at the website arcbark.net. And for vegan food relief for the people of Japan, Donate to Food for Life Global, the website ffl.org. Please boycott restaurants that sell shark fin soup and let them know why. Sharks are apex predators crucial to the healthiest possible ecosystem, and cutting off their fins and dumping them back in the water to drown leaves you with a bowl of soup drowning in cruelty. Please contact your California Assembly members now in support of AB 376, which would ban the possession and sale of shark fins. That's AB 376, authored by Fong and Huffman, if you're a California resident. And, you know, you're aware of the disgraceful shame of Canada, the annual baby seal massacre. Well, there's one that happens in Africa also. Seal Alert South Africa alerts us to a man named Hatem Yavuz. Perfect name for someone who has purchased the rights. Maybe they should be called the wrongs, but he's purchased the rights from the Namibian government to club 90,000 seals, as if the government has the right to grant such rights, huh? Well, Hatem Yavuz has agreed to sell these rights this year, putting a ransom on the lives of the seals at $27 million. I'll have to check the Go Vegan Radio bank account to see if I can cover that ransom. Wait, better yet, the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States, HSUS, brings in $120 million annually. I think they can cover the ransom. I would urge them to do so, and their executives can still keep their high salaries, too. So let's urge HSUS to do the ransom and save the seals in Namibia. Cindy Sheehan will be the guest on my program next week. Also, I host the April Fool's Show for Vegan World Radio on March 30th, this coming Wednesday. So there's the first foolish part of the show. It's not even on April Fool's. It's this coming Wednesday, March 30th, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Texas Time on KPFT 90.1 in Houston and kpft.org. Why does Vegan World Radio, why does the collective think of me for an April Fool's show? Oh, well, yippee for me. I get to infiltrate Pacifica, and it'll be holy cow in the land of cowboys. I want to thank you for listening, and please support the program with a tax-deductible donation. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.org.
We need in a special way to work twice as hard. To make all people understand that animals are fellow creatures, that we must protect them and love them as we love ourselves. And that the basis for peace is respecting all the creatures. That's the basis for peace.
Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m. for the truth about nuclear power and what's happening in Japan and here in the U.S. Don't expect the truth from the corporate media and nuclear industry mouthpieces like politicians. We'll talk to an engineer and manager who actually worked for GE, the corporation that built the nuclear reactors that threaten the world. You'll hear from Keith Harmon Snow, who just authored the article Nuclear Apocalypse in Japan, Lifting the Veil of Nuclear Catastrophe and Cover-Up, A Doomsday Scenario Unfolds with Characteristic Foolishness. The article starts with a quote from Chief Seattle, "Only after the last tree has been cut down, the last river has been poisoned, the last fish caught, only then will you find that money cannot be eaten." And what can be eaten in Japan right now is largely the result of relief efforts. There's an organization called Food for Life Global that provides vegan food for disaster relief, particularly expensive in Japan right now. Visit the website ffl.org. And today, you should visit Merit Vegetarian Restaurant in Sunnyvale. Every penny spent on meals today at Merit Vegetarian will go to vegan relief efforts of Food for Life. So get your friends together, head over to Merit at 548 Lawrence Expressway in Sunnyvale. Help animals in Japan. Support Japan Earthquake Animal Rescue and Support. For PayPal, use donate at jears.org. Support veterinarians deployed in Japan. Visit worldvets.org and Animal Refuge Kansai in Western Japan. Donate at the website arcbark.net. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the Bay Area made possible by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan organic dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have a Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. Visit the online superstore veganessentials.com and get 10% off all orders over $50 now when you put GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box. Delicious heat and serve vegan entrees from EcoVegan are now at Whole Foods. Visit ecovegan.com. And if you're looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and 3 decades Bay Area real estate experience, contact Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer. Email the initial JBROOKS at REMAX.net. Be my friend on Facebook, Bob Linden, Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to donate to support the program, visit goveganradio.org.